Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Game night. Let's go. It's game night.
Game two.
We're going to take this thing right up to the start. We even get to do a little Warriors Live today. We didn't even mention who's on the show. We've got an incredible list of voices coming on the show today. It's going to start with Kalena Azubuike.
Yeah,
Buki
yeah.
is on.
Yep.
Remember the montage we played yesterday of Rockets announcers being like, oh, for crying out loud with the Steph threes. That guy is, his name is Craig Ackerman, and he's going to be on the show today, and so is Monty Poole. So just a line of people who are in Houston and cover these teams coming up today as we get you ready for game number two. And I absolutely believe, with all willingness to be wrong, that the Golden State Warriors will also win this basketball game tonight. And I wonder if we could look at this bracket just a little bit differently. I want to throw something at you, and I'll let the audience know right now, I did not tell Dibs I was going to do this. So I want to throw something at you right now. It starts with a premise, though. The premise is, especially because Deep Dive Dibs, who has been working hard this week, Deep Dive Dibs has done a lot of historical references. 7 versus 2.
Oh, yeah.
And who wins game one, and when you win game one on the road, and such. Do you buy this premise, that the Golden State Warriors we're watching right now were actually born the first week of February? And that's the team that we're watching right now. Do you buy that as a premise?
I'd buy it to the extent that this team is different than the team that went 12-3 and then promptly went, what, like 20-26 or whatever the numbers were.
Right.
They were amazing early, and then they were really mediocre, and they actually were kind of secretly subpar.
No doubt.
And then they got Jimmy, and then they became a different team. So to that extent, and your premise, I'll allow it.
Okay.
I'm like a judge, and you know the opposition objected, and I said overruled because I want to hear it.
I'm very, very excited that you accepted my premise. I am hoping that the majority of you listening, and I want to repeat it because I know it's easy to tune people out when they're talking. Listen to the premise. Are these Warriors, the ones we're watching now, are they actually a team that was born the first week of February? If your answer is yes, that's who they are now, because I believe that. So I believe things that happened in December don't matter that much. So we can go through all these matchups that the Warriors and the Rockets had this year. And even though the Warriors had some success against the Rockets early on, I don't think it's an accurate picture of what we're doing now. And this might help with why I am bordering on cocky when talking about this series. Dibs, I wonder if you might play a game based on my premise. And who cares if you're right or wrong? Because these are all close and it's just for fun.
Well, Grandy cares.
Well, there'll be buzzers. But yep,
there will
but,
be. Hopefully a ding or two along the way.
I would love to explore your and the listeners' perceptions about these eight teams that are in the Western Conference playoffs and who they actually are right now. Would you like to guess, heading from 8-1, the seeding of the Western Conference playoffs if we just started when Jimmy started playing?
So basically post-All-Star break.
Basically. But let's start the night that he played against the Chicago Bulls. The first half was ugly, and then here they came, and that's Jimmy Butler's Warriors era. From that moment, heading forward, what do you think the seeding of the Western Conference playoffs actually are? You want to give it a whirl?
I'll give it a whirl.
Let's give it a whirl. Let's go from 8 up until 1. Who do you think is the 8 seed? Remember, the season, and this is regular season only, no playoff games, no play-in games. Just the records of the teams once Jimmy Butler started playing basketball. Who do you think is the 8 seed?
I would guess Memphis, because they were really good and they wound up as the 8 seed. So I think Memphis would be the 8.
That is absolutely correct. In fact, Memphis has a losing record.
Right.
And losing record.
And I remember we talked about this going into the play-in and how, you know, Memphis was amazing and then they were, you know, really kind of and then worse, and then they limped in and they're the 8.
I think you see it so far.
Right.
Right? They've been blown off of the map twice in Oklahoma City. Who do you think is the 7 seed?
Here's where it gets tough, because like OKC is 68-14, but they were probably like 50-5 at one point. So I don't think that they're the 7. I'm just going to go with Minnesota, because I think that they were good but not great. I'm torn between Minnesota and Denver, but I'm going to say Minnesota.
You're going to say Minnesota.
Is the 7.
Grandy, I'm sorry. The 7 seed in my reality, the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, I knew it was one of the 2.
The Denver Nuggets are the 7 seed, and you know damn well I've been telling you for a week and a half now I think the Clippers are going to win that series, and I still think the Clippers are going to win that series. The Denver Nuggets, they are your 7 seed. Who do you think is the 6 seed?
I'd go with Minnesota.
Okay.
I was torn between the 2.
All right, Grandy. The Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, that's my other candidate.
The Lakers are the 6 seed in my reality that doesn't actually exist.
Right.
The Los Angeles Lakers are your 6 seed. Would you like to take a gander at the 5 seed?
I'm pot committed on the Timberwolves.
You sure are.
So I'm going to stay with Minnesota.
Grandy, I'm sorry.
It is.
Ready for this one now.
Houston.
The Houston Rockets. Yeah. That's the 5 seed. Who do you think?
You know who I think is the 4
seed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
finally.
You got it. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
So pot committed on Minnesota.
That is your 4 seed.
Yep.
Who do you think is the 3 seed?
Probably Oklahoma City.
Grandy? No.
It's the Clippers.
It's the Los Angeles Clippers.
Well, I know the Warriors are 1, so
who do you think
OKC would be the 2.
Grandy? No, I'm sorry.
Holy shnikes.
The Golden State Warriors are the 2 seed.
Close, though.
What does that leave for you there? Who's the 1 seed, Dibs?
I would have to say the Sacramento Kings,
okay.
Mark.
It's the Oklahoma. It's the Oklahoma
Man,
City
kept
Thunder.
Going.
Okay? So I want to repeat that
for
you.
What's the record difference between OKC and the Warriors, if you have it?
I do have it. Give me a moment.
I know it's really, really close, because the Warriors were amazing.
Yes. Here is the actual difference. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 27-5.
Okay.
The Warriors at 2, 23-8. 23-8, Oklahoma City, 27-5. The third seeded Clippers, 22-9, just a game behind the Golden State Warriors, even though they beat them on the last day of the regular season. All right. Now, the reason I love this list so much is because I actually think if you look at it, it's, while not perfect, it is a pretty accurate portrayal of what we've seen so far in the first 4 days of the NBA playoffs. I think it's pretty accurate. Who's been the best-looking team? Oklahoma City. Who's next? Who's in the next best position? It's the Golden State Warriors.
Yes, so far.
Absolutely. Clippers would be the 3 seed. I agree. They grabbed home court away from the Denver Nuggets and almost won both games. Minnesota's the 4 seed. They dominated the Lakers in game one. Obviously, the Lakers came back in the next game. Now, the Lakers down at 6, I probably think they look more like the 4 or the 5. And the Rockets at the 5 probably look more like the 6 or the 7. The Denver Nuggets, say it again, I think they're going to lose this series. They just fired their coach. And the Memphis Grizzlies are, they are the Where's Waldo of this bracket. He who does not belong. Which one of these is not like the other? Raise your hand. It's the Memphis Grizzlies. You don't belong here. And you're going to get absolutely unceremoniously knocked out of this thing. 5 games max.
And we kind of knew that, which is why we all thought that the win over Memphis was so big, and Steve Kerr said as much. Now, would the Warriors be doing this against OKC? I think that they'd be faring better. They might still be down 2 games to none.
Oh, very possible.
And they might have lost game one by 50 based on the short rest, but I do think game two would have been a different story, and Memphis is just not good enough, and they're not ready, so... That just leads to what Steve had said, and you said it as well. It wasn't a must-win against Memphis, but it kind of was you know, you get Houston winnable, you're the favorite, and now you're up 1-0, or you get OKC, travel spot, short rest. They're really, really good with 68 wins, so if it wasn't a must-win, it was as damn close to one as you could possibly ask for.
No doubt. So when we look at it maybe through this lens, because I believe that's who the Warriors are right now, maybe it helps people see, I'm not looking at a 7 seed. I'm not watching a 7 seed. In my reality, the Warriors are the 2. They're the 2. And Houston is much closer to the 7. The only difference in this is that they had to start on the road. That's the only difference. And they've been a very good road team all year. They're veterans. They've been around the block a billion times. I don't think they're bothered by the road. I don't think they care. And we saw that on Sunday night. Now, Houston will play desperately tonight, and they are definitely a quality team. And so if the Rockets are going to do something in this series, then they'll win tonight. And they very well might. They very well might. But my confidence will not be shaken either way. And I'll be to the level of snickering if the Warriors actually win this game tonight. But that's why I sound the way I sound this week. To me, the Warriors are the 2 seed in the Western Conference, not the 7.
And that's a good way to look at it as far as what this team has been since Jimmy Butler. And a lot of it is momentum-based, and we can look at the games they played when they had Jimmy Butler, and Houston came in and beat the Warriors by 10 mm-hmm. in that game. And we can look at why. And for me, the why is multitude. It's one, the Warriors were at the end of a gauntlet, and Memphis shot better than they have in the other 5 games that these two teams have played. And I don't want to harp on the whistle too much, but on that night, there were 29 total fouls called, which is 9 fewer than the norm in an NBA game, and I do think that a more physical game with physicality allowed, I think that that favors Houston more than it favors the Warriors because, A, the Warriors are better at the foul line, and B, if you can manhandle the Warriors star, like, if you want to manhandle Dylan Brooks, fine. Dylan Brooks
That's
loves to be manhandled,
to exactly.
right? And you can manhandle anybody, and Şengün is still going to get to the foul line, and if you are allowed to manhandle Steph Curry, you have a bigger advantage on the Warriors than the likewise.
I buy
you know?
What you're saying. I think it moves the needle in their direction. I don't know if it gives them the overall edge in the game, but it moves the needle in their direction. I'll buy it. What do y'all think? Do you buy my premise that the Warriors are actually the 2 seed? If you think about it through that lens. 888-957-9570. We are excited to go take your phone calls immediately coming up next. Those of you on hold, please stay right there. We are coming to you immediately. 888-957-9570, and your best chance to get in is to get in now because Kalen Azubuike at 3, Craig Ackerman at 3:30, Monty Poole at 4 as we get ready for Game 2 tonight. It's Warriors Wednesday, and it's brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. This is Willard and Dibbs.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
And those are my numbers. And you don't have to adopt them. You don't have to. But you can. You can if you want.
And I normally would clap back against such things that are arbitrary in nature and like, oh, isn't this great? Rose-colored glasses. But when you look at this one and this team with this guy since that date, I do kind of think it's fair to look at it and say, okay, they're the 2 seed. Well, they're not. But if you look at who they are in actuality, like who this team is and who this team has been, well, then, yeah. So then let's go ahead and have expectations around them being a 2 seed.
Well, and we can do that. Yeah. And I kind of do. You know what I mean? I certainly a top half of the bracket team. You know, if you have a hard time with the number 2, okay, fine. Shaq didn't. But anyway, if you have a hard time with that, fine. I look at it as a top half of the bracket team. And therefore, a team that I just freely and fully expect to win round one. Absolutely.
No, agreed.
I expect them to win round one. There's no hesitation about that whatsoever.
And even if you put it out to round two, and if it's Minnesota, who I think you had as the 4 seed.
That's correct.
Because I remember I guessed them as the 7, the 6, and the 5. I was wrong thrice. And then a lot of buzzers in that bit, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to start pulling those out of nowhere.
It is, and I kind of had it close in my own mind, but if Minnesota's the 4 and I think the Lakers were the 5
or the 6,
whatever it was, since they got Jimmy Butler, the Warriors have been better than their potential, and I say potential because I'm not looking past Houston. I do think the Rockets win tonight, and I'll save that for later, and I think this is, if the Rockets lose in 5, this is the game they win, and I don't think that the Warriors will sweep them, and if the Warriors win in 6, then the Rockets would win, in my mind, this one, and they'd have to find a way to win game 5. But anyway, going into the second round, if the Warriors make it, and you have LA or Minnesota, which you would, based on your numbers, and I like these numbers, they would be favored.
They'd be favored. Well, and we'll see. We'll see how, who gets there. We'll see how much rest they get when they get there.
That's a big factor.
I think that's a factor. So all of that, you know, down the road. We want to go to the phones, and we will. Want to read this first. Dub Nation, or not read this, but get this out to you. You know that when the Warriors play, we do our engagement poll. And so let's do it right now. Let's get engaged before every game. You want to vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll. We put it on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. It's all brought to you by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings, and they're unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCo.com today. Very simple one based on the conversation we're having. Are Warrior fans getting overconfident as we head into game 2? Yes or no? So head over to Twitter, 95.7 The Game's Twitter feed, and vote. Are Warrior fans right now, in the wake of a game 1 victory, overconfident? Yes or no?
Wow, that's a great question.
Thank you. Actually, you all came up with it, so good job. Yeah.
Yeah, no is the answer.
I agree. I would vote no.
No, if you want to talk about the Warriors sweeping Houston, then that to me is a little bit of an overconfident stance. And I mean, they're allowed to sweep Houston. Houston can't sweep the Warriors. And You know,
that is accurate.
And if the Warriors win this game, then the sweep is still intact. I do think that you look at a Houston team that has the ability to score a lot of points. If you look at all 82 of their games, and I didn't watch all 82, but there were games when they scored 130, 135, and 140. And watching them play against the Warriors, I'm having a hard time believing that that actually happened. But it happened a bunch of times where they got a lot of points and they were able to score a bunch of points. And so Houston has that in their bag, kind of.
They do. They do. I just like, actually, we'll go to the calls and then I want to tell you something that Amen Thompson said today in practice to the media that to me suggests that exactly what many of us predicted would happen, which is that the Rockets are kind of, they're too much in their head, which is an example of inexperience. You've never been to the playoffs before. The Warriors have. They know exactly what you're doing, and you don't. You just don't. Like, it's not a rip. Like, I don't know how you can know what you're doing when you've never done it before. They've never won a playoff game before, all of these starters, right, except for Van Vliet. But Brooks, too. But you know what I'm talking about. The guys who are supposed
to. Jeff Green.
Yeah, the guys who are supposed to, the core of the team, they're all brand new. They've never won a playoff game before. And so what I heard today was an example of somebody searching and guessing for answers. But let's hear from the listeners. Let's go to Karen in San Ramon. Hi, Karen. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, I listen to you guys daily, and I'm doing great. I'm a longtime Warriors fan, but born a Laker fan, believe it or not.
Whoa.
Transplant. I know, but I'm a transplant and total local diehard now. And I just agree with you that the team has recently found themselves with Butler on the team, and they are going to win first round. No doubt. No doubt.
I think I'd like to. How long did the process take when you had to go to rehab and get rid of your Lakers fandom?
It took some time, but
yeah,
not that long. I've been, you know, a Bay Area local now longer than I was for an LA. So probably what, 22. Well, I didn't move up here until after college, so it didn't take that much time. But I'd say probably 10 years.
Okay,
10
beautiful.
Years.
Was there like an intervention where a bunch of family friends came over and like they made a circle around you and they were all wearing Warrior hats and shirts? Did that happen in your life?
No. I mean, the reality is, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, so you know, in the entertainment, LA, Magic Johnson era, huge Laker, Dodger fan, but I'm a full-on convert now of Giants, 49ers, and Warriors. I literally hated them all growing up.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Karen, welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the rebellion, and we're glad.
Thank you.
Yes, glad to rid yourself of the dark side. Thank you for calling, Karen.
Exactly. Right. No, of course. Thanks so much.
All right, there goes Karen. She used to have an aimless life, and now everything is wonderful.
It's great.
Yeah.
And she is fulfilled, Warrior fan, and that's great. And now you can fully enjoy this. And what's neat about the NBA playoffs is when your team is not playing, you get to pick a side. And I know that you're doing a little bit of the dibble-dabble on the wagering, and you've done quite well. And
we're doing all right.
And I'm kind of like, you know, gravy training off that, not financially, but emotionally. And so I'm pulling for you. But when the Lakers play, it's fun to be a fan of whomever they are playing.
Yes, and I've actually stayed away from, I've not done anything financially with that series.
Yep.
Because I know, same way I haven't done anything with the Warriors series. If I've got any kind of emotional pull going on, I use that as a demerit with regard to, like, should I or should I not dive into that game? Because my rooting interests get all skewed. I don't want to, you know, like last night I kind of agreed with you. I was like, yeah, the Lakers are probably going to win this game, but I don't want to root for that.
Right.
So just leave it alone.
Austin Reeves for three.
Yeah.
And you're pumping your fist.
Like,
and you're like, what am I?
Seriously.
What am I doing?
Put the kids to bed, and then you're like sitting in a room by yourself rooting for the Lakers, and you stop and look at yourself, and you're like, what has happened to my...
Luka gets bumped, and you're screaming out, that's a foul?
I mean, my goodness, gross.
Right?
Like, we're going to put a visor on and sweat and just like be... Like, life will have gone awry. I don't want to do that. So, anyway.
No, it's... Yeah, it's fair. Just real quick, as you asked me to do the numbers on fouls and in the playoffs. Or,
Like you said, so 38 fouls
per
is
game.
An average NBA game regular season.
Yeah.
What about in the playoffs?
We're at 36.3.
Okay, so they are down a little bit.
Yeah, about 5%.
Okay, but, but in a small sample, you know, although kind of not that small of a sample.
Games, right?
That's,
13 games in.
That's, you can feel that.
One interesting thing I found is Minnesota beats the Lakers in game one, and there were 21 fouls against Minnesota, 10 against the Lakers.
Wow.
And they still, in that game.
Well, Minnesota hit everything.
Right.
They shot 50% from three.
But they were minus 11 in fouls. Like,
right.
They committed 11 more fouls. Game two, which was last night, 46 fouls in the game.
How many on Minnesota?
I didn't write it down, but I would imagine it was slightly skewed LA's way.
Well, I mean, how many people need to call up and talk about the Laker whistle? We've heard, and I don't mean from fans, I mean from actual people who work in the NBA.
Right.
I can tell you right now, free throws
shot. 24 against L.A., 22 against Minnesota.
Okay.
And free throws were almost even.
Yeah, Minnesota actually shot more.
The nature of the whistle, like, the Lakers benefited in this just quick glance at more whistles, and I do think that the Warriors are kind of in that same camp.
Yeah.
Also, one last postscript before we go back to the phones. These numbers are skewed by the OKC series because, you know, there's not a lot of calls that you need to make in a game that's a 53-point blowout. Well,
because they're dunking at the other end, and there's no Grizzlies even on that side of the court.
Right.
It's an absolute... Dude, are you old enough to remember Teen Wolf? Not you. I know you are.
Sadly.
Like, anybody... Grandy, do you know what Teen Wolf is?
He's chewing.
Michael J. Fox movie. Do you remember Teen Wolf?
He's heard of it, I don't think he's ever seen it. That's my guess.
It's also a newer adaptation of the show.
Okay, yes. But anyway,
the point is
the movie
the
movie changes, like what would happen is a team would be down by 20 and Michael J. Fox would like wolf out. Like all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of like Clark Kent going into a phone booth, which is an even older reference. But anyway,
you're on fire.
We're just getting older by the second. But the point is that when you're down by like 25, Michael J. Fox would wolf out and he would become a wolf. And then he'd go back out on the basketball court, and he would like literally score the next 30 points of the game by himself and bring his team back to victory. That's called wolfing out, and it's when you just go like you're the only player on the floor, and the people you're playing against, right, they're just diving for you and missing and everything, like you see in the movies. That's what the Thunder-Grizzlies series looks like. It looks like OKC wolfed out, and Memphis is just, they're the Washington Generals. They have absolutely... They've got nothing to say about these games whatsoever. They're blowouts at the end of one quarter every time.
Yep, yep. So. Which I think leads to fewer fouls. When it's a 53-point game and you've got the third strings in there, you don't necessarily need to like call it tight. So, yeah, fouls are down a little bit. And in the Warrior game, there were 33 fouls, which is slightly fewer than the norm in a game that should favor Houston. And yet they still lost by 10.
How about Jonathan in the city? Let's go to Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling. Jonathan!
Hey, sorry, guys. I had to switch the AirPods. You know, the AirPods kind of running low.
Okay.
Hey, I just want to say, you hit the nail right on the head. I'm totally with you, man. Since the arrival of Jimmy, the Jimmy effect, took care of two things that used to be my biggest pet peeve watching Warrior games, that they don't shoot enough free throws, and their turnover is just too much. You know, it's closer to the number 20 than to 10. Real quick on game two, if they use the same formula, you know, balance attack on offense, ground game and air attack both, they should win this game. I mean, I don't want to sound too overconfident, but if you got a young team in experience and feeling a little bit of a desperation sensation, it's not a good mix. So, go Warriors.
Okay, Jonathan.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, that's right. Cash him out one time. I can tell you exactly what the Rockets are going to try to do tonight. And there's two things I'd like to say about this. Number one, this is Amen Thompson making a rookie mistake. This is a rookie mistake. You don't go to reporters and tell them how you're going to approach game two differently so that the Golden State Warriors can hear you. Doesn't really matter because I know the Warriors would have been ready for this anyway. But I also think that this is a snapshot of a young Rockets team searching for answers in the playoffs. He said today to the assembled media at Houston's shoot-around that the Rockets may have listened too much to the noise going into game one. And the noise was telling them that games slow down in the playoffs. They listened to that too much and maybe ended up purposefully playing a slower game. And that's not what they want to do. They'd like to speed it up. And he believes that if they commit to it, they can do that. All right. So, A, you just told the Warriors what your main new goal is. B, I don't think the Warriors are going to be surprised by that. But C, you're searching. You're searching. You're the two seed, not my two seed, but you're the two seed. And after game one, we're already doing the, well, we got beat by the noise. There were people talking, and we listened to them, which made us change our gameplay. But now we're going to change it back. And we're like, come on, man. Like, this is not a good sign for the Houston Rockets. The Warriors know this. They know that if they don't turn it over and they get back on defense, they're going to make you set up in a half-court offense, and you're not very good at it. They know this. So you can commit to it all you want. I'd love to see them actually execute it.
Yeah, they can execute it if they make shots. And we always talk about this being a make-or-miss league, and it's especially more that as a case when you don't have as many possessions. And I'm looking at the pace, and he talked about them playing faster, and the Warriors and Rockets played the exact same pace, 88.2, which is about 10% slower than they both played in the regular year. And Steve Kerr actually said it to us when we had him on yesterday about pace and how, you know, it was a much slower game, but the playoffs are always going to be slower. And so if it is a slower game and the Warriors then have fewer possessions, and if they turn it over fewer times, then you're going to limit the amount of damage that Houston can do against you in an open floor and in a broken floor. So does Houston really want to get up and down against Golden State and get into that kind of game? I don't think so. You don't shoot it as well, and you can't defend as well when it's going to be up and down.
Well,
so Houston, I think that a slower pace is the only way they can win.
Well, I think what he's saying is they want to get to the rim, right? We're tall, we're athletic, we can't shoot. So how are we going to beat him? Yeah, get to the rim. Get to the rim. And you do that in transition. The problem is again, the Warriors are a phenomenal defensive team. Again, especially my two-seeded Golden State Warriors. They're a phenomenal defensive team. They're a top three defensive team since Jimmy Butler arrived. So they're smart, they're good, and they know they know how to try to prevent that. And again, it's turnovers and missed bad shots that lead to transition buckets in the other direction. So keep doing what you're doing, which is be mature and limit the turnovers. And if you do that, I just don't see many nights where Houston will beat you. Maybe they have a good shooting night tonight. They're certainly capable of it.
Yeah.
But I'd bet against it. It's going to happen way less than 50% of the time.
Right.
So anyway.
It's probably going to happen maybe 33% of the time. So if you play six games and Houston shoots it great twice, that doesn't mean that they win both games. That means in those two of the six, they have a good chance to win. And if you add in the other elements of Steph Curry gets shut down, which has happened,
sure,
and or the Warriors turn it over a bunch, which happened twice this year, the Warriors are 0-6 when they have 20 or more turnovers. Two of those games came against the Rockets. So you shoot it great, and the Warriors turn it over, or you stop Steph Curry, that's a win, Houston. Can you do it four times? I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ray, Highway 24. Hi, Ray. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How you guys doing? It's been a while. I was just wondering, what do you think? You know how they say, you know, a team has to peak on its way into the playoffs? It's the best to be playing your best basketball at the end of the season. I'm not really sure if I agree with your numbers 100%, because I'm not sure if we were playing our best basketball. You know, now that Jimmy is aggressive, now that he was trying to score, we might have another gear. This might be the peak. We're not. I still don't think we've seen what the Warriors can do with this lineup, because we haven't seen Jimmy purposely try to get 30 yet.
Ray, so, I agree with you. And I think we, like, I'm, again, Whether or not they were peaking before they got to the playoffs, if your point is that you think they can be even better now, then they're even more of the two seed than I would say, wouldn't you think?
That's why I was saying I don't disagree completely, because I think maybe they could even have been better. I guess I said that wrong. I didn't mean to say I disagree with you. I meant to say they're probably even better than that. You know what I mean? Because we haven't even seen exactly what they can do, because I don't want to say Jimmy has been blasé, but he's been trying to fit in, get in where he can fit in. He's been trying to figure it out. Now he's like, I got it figured out, and it's time for me to get some buckets. Now we're going to see what this team can really do.
Yeah, Ray.
And that might surprise the world.
Ray, thanks. I like it because, you know, A, you are seeing not just like, is Jimmy going to ramp up the aggressiveness, but we're obviously watching a shorter rotation. That's what happens in the playoffs. You start to go with your best. Your best start to play more minutes. Instead of playing 31 minutes, Steph might play 38, might play 39, something like that. You're going to have more Steph on the floor. You're going to have more Jimmy on the floor. They've tightened this whole thing up. There's the Kuminga factor as an example of that. And again, that's not saying what they would look like with him, without him, whatever. The point is you tighten those screws a little bit. And Steph Curry has even said, whether you buy this or not, but he has said, look, we're also still learning each other. Like, this is still new to them. If you add in the playoffs and the play-in, what do we got with Butler now? I think 33 basketball games? That's it. Like, not even half a season. So they're still learning each other, which in theory would mean that, yeah, they could keep improving.
And the idea of Jimmy being quote-unquote blasé is partly incorrect, but he is definitely now impressing upon the league exactly who he wants to be in playoff Jimmy. And he had 28 against the Spurs, then he had 24, 30 against the Clippers in the overtime loss. He had 25 in game one. So yes, Jimmy has shifted into aggressive mode. And so if it's not Steph looking to score, if Jimmy's out there, he's going to try to do it. And if neither one can get a shot, then you get down to Moses and maybe Quentin and Draymond and GP2 in the corner, whatever it is. But Jimmy Butler is now aggressively trying to get his.
Let's keep going. Johannes in Alameda. Kalen Azubuike is going to join us here in just about 6 or 7 minutes. Hi, Johannes. What's up?
What's up, guys? I'm just curious because I think we're a little overconfident going into this game. I think probably what the coach, at least Kerr, is telling everybody is we got to weather a bunch of storms. A game like this, I think the Rockets are going to come out. They're going to try to punch us in the face and keep the pressure on a whole game. I don't think Curry is going to be able to go off like he did last time. We rarely see him make crazy shots like that back-to-back games. So the X factor, I think, is going to be who's going to show up. They're going to put some pressure on Jimmy, too. But it's going to be a wild one. I think it's going to come down to the end. And the Warriors are more experienced. So if we can steal this game, go up 2-0, it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Johannes, thanks. Let me say this. I'll buy if you want to label me as overconfident for the series. I wouldn't say overconfident for this game, though. I could see him losing this game. I could see the Rockets winning.
Yeah, and if I had to make a pick, and I will make the pick, and I won't bet it because I'm like you. I'm not going to bet against my team I probably won't ever bet against my team, but Rockets are laying 3.5. I wouldn't lay the 3.5 because I think it could be a 2 or 3 point game, but if I was a betting man looking at it from a neutral observer's standpoint, I would take the Rockets in this game. I think that the officiating crew, combined with the home court, combined with Rockets' desperation, combined with the fact that the math would tell you that the Houston guards won't be as bad as they were. They're not good. I'm not going to sit here and say that Van Vliet and Jalen Green are good shooters or good scorers, but they're better than they were in game one.
They can be.
They have been.
They can be.
Well, they have been, what I'm leaning on. Like, their track record is such that they're better than that.
Well, but their track record is also that is what they struggle with. That is their bugaboo.
Yeah.
It's not their bug tussle, but it's a bugaboo.
Yeah. Listen for bug tussle on the broadcast, and you're listening to NBC Sports Bay Area. Bob Fitzgerald has promised us that a Steph Curry 3 will come from bug tussle.
Yeah, and we should probably let Kalena know that that's coming so it doesn't catch him off guard. Bug tussle.
The hell did you say, Fitz?
That's right. Bug tussle.
You let him know.
Steph shot that one from bug tussle. That's
so what?
No, well, I find it interesting. That's what. But anyway, here comes Kalena Azubuike. He's going to join us on the show. Craig Ackerman, voice of the Rockets, 3:30. Monty Poole, our friend NBC Sports Bay Area, 4 o'clock. Warriors Live, 5:30. And then the game, 6:30, right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors postseason coverage is brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament on Monday, April 28th at Stone Tree Golf Club. Presented by Otco Pest Control. Stein and Gu are going to be there, 10 to 2. If you'd like to play, go to 957thegame.com. Click on the events tab to sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibbs.